All right, I want to continue this series on hearing the voice of God. And as we talk about the dynamic of Spirit-filled life, walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, that part and parcel of that is this awesome privilege and honor to hear God's voice. And as I began last week's sermon, verse 1 or verse 2 of chapter 1, Genesis, it says, "And God said," and God speaks all the way from Genesis to Revelation. And He speaks to every person. He calls into His purpose. And God is a speaking God. He speaks to His people. But today I want to go beyond that and lay out for you Steps for Effective Intercession. Now, this is the title of a study that was offered when I went to Youth with a Mission, YWAM. And Steps for Effective Intercession. And these were, what I'm going to give you are these, I've kind of adapted, changed, modified these principles, but they are the same in essence. And these are the principles we learn, and Ashley Smith is going to be there real soon, going right through this. And a shameless plug, go to her spaghetti dinner next weekend, and your donation will help send her off to missions training and outreach. And so, but while I was at Youth with a Mission, they taught us these steps of intercession, and it was what we used in our intercessory prayer groups. So that we were not only just praying, but we were learning to hear God's voice for the purpose of prayer. So I'm going to offer these. Let me give you just a brief testimony before I begin. Is that when I went to Youth with a Mission, I had been a Christian for about 2.5 years. And I'd heard the voice of God, and let me preface that. Very few people ever hear God's voice audibly. Most of us hear God's voice in that an inner thought, basically. It's more of a prompting. It's a still small voice. It's very quiet. So when I say hearing God, I'm not talking about audibly, though that does happen upon rare occasion. Just giving you my oversight, or at least what I have observed, and from the testimonies of others. God speaks through different means we talked about last week. He'll speak to us through a verse of Scripture. He'll just illustrate that to us. We're reading, you know, and how it works for me is I hit that Scripture and it just starts to work on me. I have a sense that God has entered into my Bible reading. And is applying or personalizing what I'm reading for myself or a specific circumstance. We know that God speaks through circumstances. He speaks through dreams and visions. He speaks through a number of means. But God's primary revelation throughout the Scripture is through words. Whether it's through the Scriptures Himself or through the words He speaks in the inner hearts, in our inner hearts. And so here I go. I'm 25 years old, and I head off down to Texas to the school. And they taught us these principles I'm going to teach you here in a minute. And I remember our first intercessory prayer group. And you know, prior to that, I have to confess that prayer, public prayer, was kind of a burden. You know, going into circles and the one guy prays too long and after 10 minutes you're snoring and you're not even following. And you know, you try to be spiritual and be awake and that sort of thing. But here we were coming into intercessory prayer and guys bringing coffee in and it was just so relaxed. Now this isn't part of the message. But I'm learning that God doesn't require religious forms for us to come before Him. At any rate, we just began to pray, and we prayed through these principles as a group. And then we sat in silence, and we waited to hear if God had anything for us. And it was amazing over those next number of weeks how God began to minister to us and guide us in prayer through His voice. Now, we would just kind of stop and say, did anyone get anything? And someone say, well, you know, while we were praying, Acts 2:14 came to me. We opened it up and looked there. You know, one guy said, you know, a thought came to me about this. And the person who would kind of chair the group would kind of say, you know, I think I hear God bringing these things together. And then we would pray over them. And we just used it for prayer. What I learned about the history of Youth with a Mission, largest missions organization on the earth today. They are on every continent. They are almost in every nation, wherever they can be. And, well, they probably are in every nation, secretly in many. And, I don't know how many, 20,000 missionaries, 20,000 missionaries. I don't know, 4,000 or 5,000 bases around the world. But what I know about them is this. There's not a single place where they have started a base, started a church that did not come out of intercessory prayer. You know. And it is the value of this church that don't want to do anything unless we hear God on something. You know, we just keep marching at the last orders till new orders come. Just stay faithful with what we're at, where we're at, but always with a mind to hear what God has to say to us. So I certainly leaned much from the principles I'm going to teach you today. On your way out, I want you to grab one of these steps for effective intercession. Just put this in your Bible. Now, I'll tell you, do I use this today? No. You know why? These principles become part of my heart. I don't even think about them anymore, but it's just very much a part of my heart. And as I've prepared this message today, I just was encouraged that this is part of my life. And so I'm going to tell you, I do not believe in any sermon that has 4 steps to financial security, 3 steps to finding the woman of your dreams, 10, you know, that you just do, if you just do all of them, you get the whatever it is you're supposed to get. I don't believe that. God doesn't dance to our little tune. But this is just a guideline. If you've seen Pirates of the Caribbean, the code is, there's sort of guidelines. They're fuzzy. Don't force this into hard, fixed places. These are suggestions. These are encouragements to hearing God in the place of prayer. Let's look at each of these steps. The first step is this. Ask God to reveal sin and repent so that you may have unhindered fellowship with Him. So ask God to reveal sin. And the principle comes from Psalm 66:18, where the psalmist said, if I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. This word, cherished iniquity, in the Hebrew literally translates to see wickedness. In other words, to be aware of our sin and yet to do nothing about it often quenches God's voice in our heart. You know, to be conscious of sin that is unrepented of, unconfessed, and yet to go ahead and to expect God to speak to us, folks, we are quenching the voice of God if we do not deal with sin. Now, you're probably familiar with that scripture, and I don't want to guess where it's at. But we're told, husbands, to live with our wives in honorable ways so that our prayers are not quenched, so that our prayers are heard. So there's one principle that supports this. Husbands. And so this principle, we've got to deal with sin. You know, when we have sin in our life, when we come before the Lord and we want to hear Him, it's like a gasoline filter. Now, they're kind of bigger now, but a lot of filters used to be right there at the intake to carburetor. And it was this little filter about like this. And if you got dirt in your line, I had a Volkswagen that had a problem for a time, and it would start chugging, and I'd have to pull over, undo, of course I was 16, I didn't mind this, undo the gas line right there on the side of the highway, blow out the line, plug it back up, tighten it up. I probably had a wrench in the glove box, you know, for every 300 miles it needed it or so. And I go on my way. But you know, that little filter is so small, but it can shut down the engine. And when we allow even the smallest sins, it can shut down the engine of prayer. So if we want to hear God's voice, we're going to have to deal with sin. You know, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Psalm 27 says, he who has clean hands and a pure heart. So ask God to reveal sin and repent so that you may have unhindered fellowship with Him. Secondly, confess your need for the direction and energy of the Holy Spirit. We see from Romans 8:26, really a verse we've come across a number of times as we've gone through some of these sermons on the Holy Spirit. It reads, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." I see prayer in the Spirit as prayer that is dependent upon and directed by the Holy Spirit. It's not prayer that comes from the natural mind. You know, but it is one that as we rely upon the Lord, as we ask God to enter into our prayer time, as we ask God to guide us that we might pray effectively, let's confess our need for the direction and energy of the Holy Spirit. Like I said, this is a part of my life now, and I don't think of these principles anymore, but it's just something like, Lord, guide me. Show me how to pray. Show me what to pray for. So confess your need for the direction and energy of the Holy Spirit. Principle number three, lay aside your desires for what you feel you should pray. We want God's desires. Now, what I'm going to touch on, as a person who is always working at prayer, and I know you are too, we work at it all the time. We have good successes, we have failures too. We have times of prayer engagement, we have times of prayerlessness. But as a person who works at praying better, I do observe that most people begin their faith journey praying for themselves. Most of their prayer needs are, I'm going into this day, help me God, be my strength, provide for our needs, you know, whatever. And yet we haven't learned that Lord's Prayer principle, where the first thing in the Lord's Prayer that we're to pray for is for God's kingdom to come and His will to be done on earth as in heaven. The asking for our own needs is farther down the list of priorities. And so maturing through prayer is learning to put God's heart, God's kingdom, the purposes of God ahead of our own needs. And so this is very important to hearing God's voice. The laying aside of our desires, laying aside even our own self-focus in prayer, to say, God, what is on your heart? I could tell you many times in those intercessory prayer times in Youth with a Mission, as we'd be just praying before the Lord and waiting in silence. You know, someone might say, man, I just hear the word Taiwan. And we would just begin to intercede for Taiwan. When's the last time you prayed for Taiwan? I'm telling you, God's got a global heart. You know, and I make kind of global prayer a part of my daily life. I don't know how, in many ways, I kind of just picture God looking down on the earth. And I think of God's purpose. And just, I'm really, honestly, almost every day, I just kind of see every dark corner of the world. And I'm praying, send the gospel, Lord, to every dark corner. I kind of see the global work of Christ. And I'm praying every day just about for the persecuted church. I'm praying grace upon believers in their suffering and in their oppression. Getting that global perspective. Not praying for what I desire, which is so narrow. My life, my job, my kids, my finances. But getting, learning how to hear God's voice for thy kingdom coming. Thy will be done. That sort of thing. And so we need to lay aside our desires, what we feel we should pray for. We want God's desires. Proverbs 28:26 says this, whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. We don't want to pray as a carnal man. We don't want to pray as natural people, you know, trusting in our own mind. We want to lay aside our desires to catch God's heart. Look at Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Folks, you know, the more we want something, how are we going to get beyond our own desires to hear God's desires? Well, the more we want something, the more powerfully we want it, the more subject we are to bias. Oh, I have, in my own walk, as an immature believer, and I would love to boast to you today that I'm completely free of this now, but I am not. I just don't make quite as many mistakes. Or do I? Well, we won't go there. But, oh, I guess the case in point, and I can see no better illustration than this, is in dating and in marriage. Who we think we're to date and who we are to marry. The more we want something, the more subject we are to biases, and the more difficulty you and I are going to have at hearing God's voice. I mean, guy, if you really want that girl bad enough, God could drop a 2x4 on your head and you're not going to hear it. I'm telling you. If you want it bad enough. And that's probably why when we are subject to these biases and our own desires, it's very good to have people we can bounce these things off of. Before I met Patricia, I dated a gal. And it was in Youth with a Mission, YWAM. By the way, YWAM not only stands for Youth with a Mission, it also stands for Young Women After Men. That's what the guy said. Or someone said, youth with a marriage. I mean, it's normal that a lot of, you know, people of the same age and the same vision for life, God does a lot of matchmaking. There was a girl I was interested in. And I thought, boy, I think she's the one. And I went to my leaders and said, what do you think? Now, they all said this, Scott, it's not our job to tell you who you are to marry. So that's a responsibility you share. However, we see that so-and-so has certain issues. We also notice, and they would mention a negative thing about our relationship. So I would go to the next person, and I kind of would hear that, and I went to about three people. And I heard the same thing. You know what? fortunately, I was wise enough to go, you know, I think God is speaking through them. None of them wanted to control or direct my life, but from their perspective, they had a hesitation. I had to say, I think God's speaking here. And of course, that relationship went down in flames anyway. And I know her today, and I'm glad it went down to flames. Matter of fact, she's sitting... No, I'm kidding. And you know what? I'll tell you the truth. That gal, I am really happy for the guy she met. She met the right guy. And I'm just very... I'm blessed to see what God's doing there. And very blessed to know that God has led me to the wife I have. So when I started having an interest in Patricia, and I'm praying, I went, oh, I think she's the one. I went to some mature leaders. That's what you should do. Find someone who's mature. You know they're led by the Spirit. They have your interest in mind. It's very possible I might have gone to the same leaders. I was still in the same organization. And I went to them with the same thing. I said, what do you think? And they said, you know, we're not here to tell you who you're to marry. We're not going to don't want to control or direct your life. But what we observe is this. And Patricia, she's a godly gal. She loves the Lord. She's got a call of God upon her life. You know, when you're together, you know, your life honors the Lord. And then I went to person leader number two. Said the same thing. Leader number three said the same thing. I went, wow. This is the one for me. See, you know what? The young single people, old single people, God loves you. He wants for your life. He actually loves you more than you love yourself. Anything you would choose would be less than what He would choose for you. And the scripture, Proverbs, comes to my mind right now about an inheritance received hastily will not be blessed. And I'm implying that when we get in a rush to marry that gal or that guy, we often get into trouble. I don't ever have a chance to say this. I'm going to say it right now. You should get pre-engagement counseling. Do not go to... You shouldn't go to the pastor after you've already made up your mind. You need wisdom. If you want to hear God's voice, you need to lay aside your desires and what you feel you should have. Because the more you love that person, you know what? You're like a deer in rut. They'll step out in the road in front of a car. They see that doe. Oh, it doesn't matter how much traffic's on that road. Those deers will step right out. And then you get your grill redecorated. Please, get some pre-engagement counseling before you pop the question. It's for God loves you so much, He wants to bless your life. And He knows both of you better than you know yourself. And He can look down the corridor of history and know where your relationship would go. Would you like to get that girl or get that guy and then go through the heartbreak of divorce and animosity? And I'll tell you what, I know there's pain in this room having to live out some of these consequences. There's a lot of pain. But God wants to protect you. He wants your very best. And if you would listen to Him, He will guide and direct you. And sometimes He says, that's the wrong person for your life. That person will lead you into pain and problems. Oh, folks, if you want to hear God, you're going to have to lay aside your desires. Because you're going to be a deer in rut. You're not going to be able to hear a word. You're just going to... You bucks are going to be after that doe. You got the scent in your nose and you can't be distracted. Doesn't matter that the semi's bearing down on you at 70 miles an hour. You're going to have what you want and you're going to pay for it. Okay? How's that for a nice rabbit trail? Very important, since love, marriage, relationship is a huge part of my life, it's worth dedicating that percentage of this message to that issue. Because if whoever trusts in his mind is a fool. Our ways are not God's ways. Our thoughts are not God's thoughts. We want God's thoughts. That's what hearing God's voice is getting God's thoughts, getting God's wisdom, getting God's perspective, and it'll bless us. It will lead us into God's blessing. Amen. Point number four is the recognition that there's an enemy. Rebuke the enemy in the name of Jesus and forbid him from entering into his prayer time. Who's read This Present Darkness by Frank Peretti? Interesting perspective, you know. In Frank's book right now, which is probably the reality. By the way, do you know that demons can go to church? Of course, in Frank's book, there's demons up here in this corner, you know, who came in with some of their people. And then there's a bunch of angels over here worshiping the Lord with us who came in with their people. I don't know if that's how it is. I know the Bible says that Satan has access to the very throne room of God to accuse us. And that even in the presence of goodness and godliness, somehow the enemy can be present. Every voice we hear is not God's voice. I know there's many times I say, okay, God, this is a slight offshoot to this. I've said, God, I want to tell you something, and I don't want the enemy to hear it. Rebuke him, silence his ears. This is between you and me. Because I don't want the enemy using this against me. But I want to confess it out right into the atmosphere, right to the Lord. But if we're going to hear God's voice, we need to be aware that, let's just put it this way. There's a couple of voices. One is the voice of God. Two, there's my voice. I'll tell you what, there's times where I just wanted something so bad. Oh, God's speaking to me. It wasn't God. It was my voice. Because it kind of sounded alike. Then there's the enemy's voice. The enemy's voice. Look at the verse of Scripture I've got there, James 4:7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We have to resist the work of the devil. He is present in this world. He has a long chain on him right now. And look, folks, God's going to rein it in one day. But for now, he's able to go. His leash is kind of long. And we need to resist the evil one, even when we're hearing from the Lord. See, let me put you at ease, by the way. I am convinced the devil cannot read your mind. Put yourself at ease there. But there are references in the Scripture to thoughts coming in from the outside. In Ephesians 6:16, there's a mention to fiery darts. Now, we won't go into the Greek, but these are arguments, rhetorical arguments. These are darts. A little arrow. See, even in the place of prayer and righteousness, a bad thought can come. A thought from the evil one can come. Now, of course, the more we are learning God's voice and engaged in the place of prayer, the more discerning we'll go. And as soon as those come, I just go, no. Cast them down. And that's the next verse I got here, that in 2 Corinthians 10:5, Paul's talking about in the spiritual battle that we're casting down imaginations that raise themselves up against the knowledge of God. Again, here's that idea of rhetorical arguments. We're casting down these thoughts that are arguments against God, against God's plan or against God's way. And he says, and we take every thought captive. Every thought that goes through our mind, we're not going to just permit. There is a discipline of the mind. And I almost physically taking those arrows out by hand and going, no! Do you have immoral thoughts? You need to go, no! Don't even tolerate it for a minute. Be a warrior. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Ephesians 6 talks about being able to stand in the day of the evil one. I like that it says the day. My experience says this. Seems like the enemy can only sustain an attack for so long. We go through seasons of warfare where it's going to require resistance. It's going to require perseverance. But we will win unless you give up. Don't give up. But when it comes to hearing from God, we need discernment. And so we got to say, we rebuke the enemy, and I do not, in Jesus' name, permit this enemy to sow disinformation into my mind. I am seeking God. God, I only want to hear your voice. I don't want to hear my voice. I don't want to hear the enemy's voice. Lord, I want to hear only your voice. Rebuke the enemy. And I'll say this for the two or three of you who say, oh, we can't rebuke the enemy. We need to say, as it says in the book of Jude, the Lord rebuke you. Well, you got to read book of Acts. Paul said to that woman who had the spirit of divination, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. So it is an authority the believer has, and that other is a misapplication, a misinterpretation of Scripture, a misapplication of it. So we just need to say, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Now remember, the I is a small I. I rebuke you. Capital letters, large font, bold and italicized. In Jesus' name. That's who the enemy is warring against, not me. I'm just standing in Jesus' name. Small I, large Jesus. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. He you will have to war against. And he always wins. So rebuke him. If you want to hear the voice of God, be careful that the voice of the enemy can come into even the most spiritual of moments. You can be raising your hands. You can be in the glory right here, and an evil thought can come into your mind. I know. And every person here knows that. Number five, praise him now in faith, trusting you will hear his voice, then wait in silent expectancy. Now, do you see the process here? We're coming, number one, cleaning our heart, repenting, confessing sin, asking the Lord to just... And you can do this in a paragraph prayer. Lord, I just confess my sin to you and confess it. Ask Him to fill you with the Holy Spirit and to guide you by His Spirit. Lord, I lay down my desires and what I want to pray. I just want to hear what you're having to say. Lord, rebuke the enemy from this conversation, this prayer time. I want to hear only your voice. And then now, number five, praise him in faith, trusting you will hear his voice, then wait in silent expectancy. See, Jesus promises. Catch that. Promise. In John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice. It's a promise. If you belong to Jesus, if you're part of the flock that rocks, you know, you are His child. You are His sheep. His sheep hear His voice. It's a promise. Trust that by faith. Now listen to this principle from the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 1. He says, I will take my stand on my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. Now, the prophet Habakkuk has got a stunning vision, revelation, that God is coming to discipline the nation of Israel through Babylon. And he's struggling with it. But he's saying here, I'm going to commit myself to the place of prayer. I'll stand at my watchpost. I'll station myself on the tower. And I'm going to look to see what the Lord says to me about this. So he postures himself as an intercessor, like a watchman at their post. You know, walking the perimeter of the castle, a watchman through the night watches, watching. You know, and most of the time, those watchmen, there's nothing out there. But even if a rabbit moves, they're on it. but sometimes it's an enemy. And so Habakkuk says, I want to be like that man at its watch station, watching the Lord, waiting upon the Lord. If God's got anything to say here, I want to catch it. I want to hear it. And so we come before the Lord in faith, and we posture ourselves with a silent expectancy. See, faith, the faith element here, is God loves me, I'm His child, He speaks to His children. Now, I'm not going to promise you that when you've done all the steps, then this word is going to come to you. There are many things in our life that require perseverance, coming before the Lord. My general feeling is this. God speaks to us often every day, probably in ways we don't even realize. But they are the encouragements of His Spirit. Encouragements to repent. We feel the conviction of the Spirit. Encouragements to continue when we feel like giving up. Little reminders that He loves us. But on the bigger issues of life, am I to quit my job and move to Texas? That's probably not going to come overnight. There's going to be a process of prayer, of waiting on the Lord and journaling and thinking about it and praying over it, praying with others and discussing it. But posture ourselves in faith and expectancy that God will speak to us. Number six, always have your Bible with you. Should God want to give you direction or confirmation? Psalm 119, 105 says this, Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now, I might be spiritualizing this a little bit, but it says that God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. A lamp to our feet shows us where we are, and a light to our path shows us where we're going. Now, we don't see all the processes in between. But God's Word will tell us where we are. It might be you're in sin and you need to repent. And that might mean, Scott, you need to be enter into a deeper rest of faith in an issue. It shows us where we are. God's Word does. But it's a light unto our path too. And whenever I've had the significant direction changes, when I've waited upon the Lord for God's wisdom, God's Word has always been a part of that guidance. I'm not going to say it's 100%. And let me also say this. Anything you hear will never compare to the level of this authority. Whatever you hear in prayer will not be added to the canon of Scripture. And so we want to be sure whatever we hear is really consistent with this. You know, there are people, and I have met them, and some of you have met them too, who feel they heard from God to divorce their wife and to marry another person. Was it God? Well, I can tell you with great clarity, I don't even have to have spiritual insight, I don't even have to pray about it. That's not of God. Because it is absolutely contrary to the written will of God. You want to know the will of God? Here it is. But His Word is a lamp under our feet that shows us where we are, whether we're in sin, it shows us if we're in Christ, it shows us if we're in faith, if we're acting in love. But God's Word also shows us where we're going. It's a light under our path. And when God has spoken in my life of where I'm to go, changes, moving, ministry changes, the Word of God has always been the part there. So when you're in prayer, have your Bible there. Have it ready. Okay, a couple observations. And that is, some of us hear God while we're reading it. This happens to some in this room. It's happened to me upon occasion. More often it's when I'm reading, but upon occasion. I will tell you that I was just praying. I just heard Jeremiah 23:16. I think that's the one. And I was like, what does that say? So I'm flipping through the Bible. And when I read it, I went, oh, this is from God. Matter of fact, it was so much of God. It's one of those mountaintop things of direction. I think we elders have worked through many of the principles that God spoke as a result of that verse out of midair. I may not like this next thing, but it may be true too. I think God's even works through Bible roulette. You know what that is? Oh, that's a good verse. But Bible roulette. But have your Bible ready. Number 7. There's 8 in all. 7. When God ceases to bring things to your mind, offer thanksgiving and praise for the privilege of hearing His voice. Listen to this. This is just a great verse of Scripture. Psalm 138:4-6. And before I read it, remember the New Testament says that we are a kingdom of priests. So when I read these word kings, I think I'm thinking of the children of God here. All the kings of the earth shall give thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth, and they shall sing of the ways of the Lord. For great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, He regards the lowly, but the haughty He knows from afar. See, when we're praying and we're listening, it's good to have, I should have put in there, it's good to have a piece of paper and pencil ready. I mean, we ought to just be ready to journal. We get impressions, it's worth reviewing those things, thinking about those things. But when God's finished bringing those things to mind, then we need to just thank Him for speaking to us. So never take God's voice for granted. Because here it says, He regards the lowly. That's the humble. Oh, God. I tell you what, folks. If God never spoke to us again, any of us, He'd still be God. He'd still be good. His plan would be true. And we would just keep on keeping on trusting Him till we meet Him face to face. But isn't it an awesome wonder and a privilege that He speaks to us, guides us, directs our life? So, give thanks and praise for the privilege of hearing His voice. Finally, number 8. This is huge. Ask God for wisdom. Ask God for wisdom. My understand, I've seen others just define wisdom, but I've preferred to use one of my own that hasn't broken down yet over the years. Wisdom is the right and loving use of knowledge. Wisdom is the right and loving use of knowledge. We need wisdom when we hear from God. Ask God for wisdom and clarity with what you are to do with what you have heard, when you are to do it, if you are to share it with others, and if so, how to share it. Proverbs 8:32-34 says, "Oh, and now, O sons, listen to me." Now, this was a kind of a prose on wisdom from Proverbs. Wisdom is personified in the book of Proverbs, and wisdom in Proverbs means the wisdom, will, and word of God. It's also the practical use of God's information and knowledge to live a godly life. So he says, "Now, sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. Do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors." Tremendous principles there, call to prayer. But be wise, hear instruction and be wise. We need wisdom, the right and loving use of knowledge. You know, when you and I hear something in the place of prayer, that's some information that's come to us. That's some knowledge that's come to us. And if you hear the word jump, you may want to consider where you're standing before you leap. You walk up, you're at the Grand Canyon looking down. Woo, that's beautiful. You hear a voice, jump. You need to say, okay, God, when, how, where, and in what way? We need wisdom. Now look at this sentence I've got up here. I want you to ponder on it. When we hear from God, we need to say, God, give me wisdom to know what to, and clarity with what I am to do with what I've heard. What am I to do with it? When am I to do it? You know, our way is just to go off half-cocked right away. We need to say, should I share this with someone else? Folks, like they say, there's three types of mail you get. One is a public mail for can be shared with the whole family, read in front of the church. There's private mail. It's only for you. And then there's junk mail, and you throw that out. You're going to get some junk mail, I hate to say it, in the place of prayer. Some of it will be your thoughts. Some of it will be the enemy's thoughts. Some of it will be a misapplication, maybe something what God said. That's why we need wisdom. What am I to do now with this? When am I to do this? Am I to share it with someone? And if so, how should I share it? You know, just to say, walk up to someone, God said this to me about you, blah, 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 may not be the right and loving use of knowledge. Matter of fact, it happens all the time. And that anything that God has said and good said that's good and is powerful is worth waiting a little bit longer till we're sure. We've had adequate time to think about it and pray over it so that we have the wisdom of God. See, the right word shared the wrong way is wrong. It's not wise. It's not loving. Now, in closing here, you don't have to, like I said, you don't have to go through every step, every time if you want to hear from God. These can become a natural part of your life. And so, I'd like our ushers just to be available with these cards at the back. And if you want one, get one from them. And keep it in your Bible for a month. And use it as a guide. And just maybe just set aside some prayer time and just go through some of this. You're asking God for a direction. Am I to change my job? Am I to get engaged? Am I to just ask the Lord? Work through these principles. Ask Him those questions and wait to see what He says to you. He speaks to His people. Now, next week, I'm going to kind of conclude this series on hearing God's voice, and I'm going to share with you the principles of divine guidance. And you thought you got them today. Well, I'm just going to maybe share some of this. There'll be some overlap. I'm going to give you three principles that will bless your life and give you tremendous confidence in the guidance God gives you in life. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You, Lord, this awesome privilege that Your people hear Your voice. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that You would teach us how to hear Your voice. And I know that in that prayer is sometimes we've just been too distracted, or we haven't waited long enough, or we haven't cultivated silence in our life, or we've lacked just the faith, the trust that You believe that You speak to us. And so, Lord, we are the poorer for it. But Lord, draw us into this rich heritage, the people of God who hear the voice of God, who are led by the Spirit, who do the will of God, who have a sense of the kingdom and the purposes of God. Speak to our lives that we might pray better, that we might be better equipped for wisdom in this life. And Lord, that our lives might bring glory and honor to Your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all.